welcome back to the New World next week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Efforts to expand the Patriot Act fail for now. We've got that story plus killer cop robots kill cop killer. But first, we'll continue giving you the news before it happens as U.S. approves U.N. use of force to protect civilians in conflict. Again, note the use of the word civilians, that you're already living in a war zone and you're just a civilian or a combatant. Via the Associated Press, the United States has announced its support for a set of principles that give a green light for UN peacekeeping troops and police to use force to protect civilians in armed conflicts. U.S. Ambassador Samantha Power told a high-level UN meeting last Wednesday, focusing on the responsibility to protect civilians, that the United States was proud and humbled to join 28 other countries that have pledged to abide by the 18 pledges. UN peacekeepers from these 29 countries are now required to act in cases where civilians are in danger. The Kigali principles are designed to make sure that civilians are not abandoned by the international community. Again, she said, recalling how UN peacekeepers left Rwanda before the 94 genocide and Srebrenica before the 95 massacre. Now, are these going to be the same UN peacekeepers accused of raping civilians in the Central African Republic? That's just from last April on CNN. But the 90s had Rwanda. And even the Huffington Post reported, also just 3 months ago in April of 2016, on this anniversary of Rwandan genocide, Bill Clinton's words ring hollow. And are these going to be the same UN blue helmets that worked with the CIA to overthrow the Democratic Republic of the Congo in 1960? James, these aren't really rhetorical questions, nor is this one, because I actually looked around for the answer and was kind of going in circles. Are the Kigali principles essentially the same as R2P, the responsibility to protect?
Not exactly, but they certainly flesh out the R2P, and they've been developed over the course of the last couple of years through the UN. We'll throw in the link to the actual principles themselves so people can go read through them. I think Principle 11 and 18 are particularly interesting in that they seem to suggest, if not a standing UN military force, at least the kind of beginnings of a workings of what could become kind of a UN military force, not just a peacekeeping force, an actual military, standing military. So obviously some worrying developments, especially for people who know that R2P is a bunch of malarkey that's been dreamed up by the progressive left as a cover for imperialist wars of aggression. On that note, of course, I did have an episode of the Corbett Report flagship podcast on R2P and what it really is and where it really came from and what it really seeks to do, that was recently made into a YouTube video by Brock West, my video editor for the Corbett Report Extras channel, so we'll throw the link into that, as well to a couple of things. I think when we talk about this idea of UN military, peacekeeping, R2P, all of this really in the modern era stems from Rwanda and what happened there, and any good Canadian will know the story of Roméo Dallaire and, you know, the Canadian peacekeepers who failed in Rwanda in 94. And all of that. We'll know that story off by heart. But that story, surprise, surprise, is almost completely opposite to what really happened. For people who don't know the real story of Rwanda, I had a couple of interviews back a couple of years ago, one with Keith Herman Snow, the other with Christopher Black. We'll throw the links into those as well so you can learn the real story of Rwanda, which of course tells a very different story, which would give us a very different narrative from which we would base our thoughts of going forward, rather than this responsibility to protect, which is nothing other than a cover for wars of imperialistic aggression. Wherever they want to stick their pieces on the chessboard, they'll just find a human rights cause to champion.
And in a way, this is part of kind of that classic conspiranoia in a lot of ways, James, because a lot of what we know as contemporary alternative media, a lot of it does, for better or worse, have its grounding in a lot of the 90s alternative media, and those were the days of the militias and the UN. They're all going to come and take over, much like a lot of situations. Shut up, conspiracy theorist, even though it turns out for them to be right. So I mentioned Samantha Powers in there, and she is the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. A little more context and subtext on her, which I think kind of informs this story. Whenever the United States colludes in a genocidal process, Samantha Power contends that U.S. guilt, at worst, comes from remaining a mere bystander, never from acting as an accomplice, let alone a perpetrator. That's from the classic conspiracy site whale.to. But meanwhile, Wikipedia even notes she won the Pulitzer Prize for her book A Problem from Hell, America and the Age of Genocide, a study of the U.S. foreign policy response to genocide. She was a senior advisor to Senator Barack Obama until March 2008, when she resigned from his presidential campaign after apologizing for referring to then-Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton as a, quote, monster. Oh, yeah. She's married to Cass Sunstein, too. He of the cognitive infiltration. So there's a lot to unpack there, but I think in a lot of ways it comes back to the pesky old dialectic where they cause the problem so that they can offer the solution. And again, another note that we'll add in, and everything we say and play in these episodes will always be included in the show notes, so we implore you to go down, check those out, and continue the research. James, you just did a report on America's Summer of Rage, and I think this is another kind of story that ties in the way that the powers that shouldn't be are ready to solve the problem that they started. Our second story on New World Next Week, this week for July 14th, 2016, Happy Bastille Day. UN says terrorists actively seeking to build deadly army of killer robots. And oh my God, they're right. Because about 10 days after that article was published in The Sun, terrorists used a killer robot to blow up an American on American soil without trial or due process. Defense One reports military robotics makers see a future for armed police robots. Robot maker Sean Balat says he's fine with the Dallas Police Department's apparently unprecedented use of a police bomb disposal robot to kill a gunman last Thursday. A robot was used to keep people out of harm's way in an extreme situation, said Balat, the CEO of Endeavor Robotics, a spinoff of iRobot's military division. That's how robots are intended to be used. Jorgen Peterson, the CEO of RE2 Robotics and the chairman of the National Defense Industrial Association's robotics division, concurred, "If these robots are used in manners for which they were unintended, we would expect that the officers who are there to keep citizens and themselves safe would use good judgment where the application of lethal force is a last resort." On Sunday, speaking to Face the Nation, Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings blessed the operation, saying, quote, "The chief had two options, and he went with this one. I supported him completely because it was the safest way to approach it," end quote. But some ethicists are worried, as Defense One reports. "Now that we have crossed the Rubicon of robots used to kill in domestic applications, strict guidelines must be quickly set as to when this is acceptable," said one such ethicist. But this sounds like another problem, reaction, solution situation where they'll craft kind of a so-called law around what they're already doing. Coups, invasions, or blowing you up with a freaking robot. Now, James, in your recent International Forecaster article, you noted privacy advocates as kind of establishment speak for normal human beings. I think here that's kind of the same for ethicists as a euphemism for anyone paying attention.
You're exactly right. I mean, this is a stupid article, and the person who wrote it should be ashamed of their existence. Military robot makers think that police using armed robots is a good idea. Wow, what a surprise. Who would have thought it? Wow, I'm glad they did this hard-hitting, cutting-edge research to bring us this hard-hitting story. Of course, the military contractors want this to be used by the robot, police, because, yes, it's going to line their pocketbooks. No surprise there. And of course the police want to use them, because, hey, it makes their job easier. And of course the mayor and everyone else is on board, because, hey, all the money from the DHS flows in like manna from heaven to buy these newfangled robots that now are so necessary in this age of civil war. So there's nothing at all surprising about this. And I think you're right. They bury the actual debate about this down to the fifth or sixth paragraph. Oh, these ethicists they have some concerns. But anyway, hey, ka-ching, everybody, let's go jump on board the train here. So it's very sad, and it brings me back to something that you were saying on Morning Monarchy recently, where you were talking about watching the people stumbling around playing Pokemon Go and thinking, you know, think ahead 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. We see where this is going, and it's not good. It's the same thing in this situation. Look at what is happening right now. We all know where this is going, and it's like a nightmare freight train that we're just trying to figure out how to derail, if there is any way to derail it at all.
Mm. It really seems like, and again, this is all part of the plan, that everything really just went into overdrive in the last couple of weeks. And I think we kind of called it here not only a week ago, but we called it as much as 6 and 7 months ago, saying tensions are running high, to put it quite understatedly. Our last story here on New World Next Week, episode 277 for July 14th, 2016. A very poor excuse for good news. Efforts to expand the financial surveillance portion of the Patriot Act fail. For now, this via our buddy Dan Dix at Press for Truth on July 11th. The U.S. House of Representatives attempted to expand the Patriot Act by passing H.R. 5606. The bill required two-thirds in order for it to pass, but it ended up being rejected. The final vote was 229 to 177, which didn't provide the supermajority bar needed in order for it to see passage. The particular provision of the Patriot Act that could have been enhanced was Section 314, the portion of the act that encourages financial institutions and the federal government to share information with one another about transactions that they might believe are suspicious activity that could potentially be related to terrorism. Aside from this one particular effort of expansion with H.R. 5606, which was declined in the House, there are still many other existing programs out there which are unconstitutional and allow for the systemic violation to civil liberties. But we already mentioned it. They don't even really need those either, James. Operation Pokemon's going like gangbusters right now.
Unfortunately so. And yes, this is, to a certain extent, it's, I mean, I guess it's a good thing that this particular act failed, but they don't really need this for a number of different reasons, one of which, there's already so many different bank reporting rules. Just go to your bank and try to withdraw more than $1,000 in cash, or try to move $10,000 of cash. All of that's already being reported to the government, so this is just formality and window dressing so that they can peer into anyone's financial details at any time. But again, given that the NSA literally has their ears in the trunk line of the internet and everything that's passing through all forms of communication, do you really think they couldn't get access to your financial details if they really wanted to? Of course they could. This is just them writing themselves the blank check so that they can get the get-out-of-jail-free card when it's finally exposed. So I guess it's a good thing, but the bigger picture is that it's already happening. And as you say, I mean, this ties into to the Pokemon Go phenomenon, which is taking off right now. And I'm glad you referenced it again in Morning Monarchy, because the first thing I thought when I saw this app was, oh, it's the game from Star Trek. Remember Star Trek Next Generation, where everybody's playing this game and they're all... That's exactly what I think when I think of what's happening right now. Anyway, for people who don't know about the connections between the CIA and Pokemon Go, I'll refer you back to Morning Monarchy, or I just wrote an article for the International Forecaster talking about those interesting connections and the fact that people are now entering the Matrix economy where they literally pay for government-connected spy agencies to spy on them, to give them their details. And everywhere they go, all the pictures from the apps collecting and all of this information being snarfed up behind the scenes, and people are paying companies for the privilege of allowing them to spy on them.
And it shows, I mean, it whatever the market will bear, it shows people will tolerate this. So it will continue, and all kinds of other companies and even the tech people have looked at the terms of service and gone, wow, that's really ballsy Orwellian terms of service, are now going, damn, we should have gone balls out for that too. It's really odd on just kind of a esoteric or pop culture or even just horror movie weird level. The corporate push for 90s nostalgia is in total overdrive now. It's Blink 182 on the charts. It's Pokemon in the games and Clinton coming to the White House. So let's pour out some Crystal Pepsi for our dead homies, Sanity and Logic, and look at the latest episode of Good News Next Week, the spinoff from this series, where we look at some of the ways that we are winning each and every week. James, you and I have called it not unmitigated good news, where there's a, you know, asterisk and dark linings to some of the silver clouds. That's pretty much what this entire episode of Good News Next Week is, because they all have another angle that says, much like our last story about the Patriot Act, it's good, but it's not great. DuPont verdicts keep piling up in the guilty, but we already note DuPont has sort of rolled off all the guilt and all the blame to some new made-up shell company that they just made up in the last year. Meanwhile, people in Canada are putting down pills in favor of pot, and Pea Power has been unveiled with a battery that can run your cell phone for 3 hours or can make the lights come on in the urinal that you're using. They actually rolled that out at the big Glastonbury Music Festival. So that's what passes for good news next week this week. And if you've got any good news stories going down in your town, please use hashtag good news next week. We can talk about those stories. And we've got a lot of classic New World Next Week headlines that kind of sound like they're from a time capsule too. So James, stop me if you've heard any of these before. Obama breaks his promises again, sends more troops to Iraq. NATO pledges 4 more years of war in Afghanistan, and U.S. and NATO to add forces in Poland as the push for World War III continues. But again, as you noted back here in the States, it is all civil war all the time, where inside the FBI, agents outraged at Hillary email decision. And I haven't watched the videos yet, but a lot of people seem to say that George Bush looked kind of medicated and whacked out. But what a weird situation where Obama and Bush are singing along with the Dallas cops to the battle hymn of the Republic. At the very same moment, Bernie Sanders doing exactly as predicted and expected and selling out a bunch of people and endorsing Hillary. Now, as Scott Horton noted, remember, Sanders was never running for president. He was running to keep lefties in the Democratic Party until Endorse Hillary Day. The time travel continues. Novella by Saddam Hussein gets English translation, described by the publisher as a mix between Game of Thrones and the UK House of Cards style fiction. The book is due out in December. The company has yet to announce what the English title will be, previously published in other languages with titles including Begone, Devils, and Get Out, You Damned One. The Saddam Hussein novella focuses on a tribe living by the Euphrates River 1,500 years ago, which ousts an invading force. Meanwhile, Osama's son vows revenge against the U.S. for killing his father in an online audio message. My name is Hamza bin Laden. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Meanwhile, back here in Portland, the Christmas tree bombers appeal puts FBI entrapment in the spotlight. Don't forget about one of the interesting FBI patsies here in Portland several years ago, the Christmas tree bomber. Former European Commissioner Chief Barroso lands a sweet deal at Goldman Sachs, and the original Apollo 11 guidance computer source code is now available online, James. That's related to last week's Kubrick story. And Sony to create an emotional robot that bonds with humans. This is where we start to get towards the future. And I really noticed today that the Wall Street Journal and other outlets are hyping a virtual flag attack on the grid. Terrorists are going to attack the power grid. Poor security puts the U.S. electric system at risk. Or how the U.S. could go dark. They were publishing the story multiple times under multiple headings all throughout this week. And interestingly and synchromistically enough, today, a power outage disrupted the New York subway on the anniversary of one of their big, memorable blackouts. I could keep going on and on, James, but I'll save it for The Morning Monarchy, my daily live news and talk show that I hope everybody will check out and continue to support independent media like this.
You know, I hadn't heard of that Saddam Hussein novella, but now I'm intrigued. Maybe I'm going to read it. Be gone, devils! Get out, you damned one! Just doing some producing on air here. Maybe we could title this episode, Get Out, You Damned UN. But anyway. All right, on that note, there will be no edition of New World next week. So it will be New World 2 weeks from now, I guess. Until then, James, thank you for the stories. We'll talk to you then.
Thanks, man. Take care.